Hi, I'm Karen Kozer, and we're talking to Dr. Payal Fadia at Shepherd Center about aphasia. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Fadia. Break it down for us. Just what is aphasia?
Aphasia, spelled A-P-H-A-S-I-A, is a speech and language disorder that can occur after a stroke, head trauma, or brain illness. While it may be a new term for you, there are twice as many people with aphasia as with Parkinson's disease in the U.S., over a million. There are different types of aphasia depending on the injury to the brain and how severe it was.
What are some of the challenges that someone with aphasia might have?
All people with aphasia experience some difficulty with speech and comprehending language. Many with aphasia have problems reading, writing, and calculating numbers. Symptoms vary, but what is consistent are the difficulties and the frustrations of people with aphasia and their families.
Can you offer some tips for our listeners who might have a friend or a loved one with aphasia?
Do anything you can to help your loved one get or continue speech and language therapy for as long as possible. Stimulate your loved one's brain often. Keep them challenged and engaged in any way you can that keeps their brain occupied. Simple puzzles, online quizzes, tasks that cause them to order things logically are some examples.
What if I had a child with aphasia? Should I consider some kind of alternate schooling?
If your loved one with aphasia is of school age, know that most public schools and universities, and some private ones as well, offer student aides and note takers free of charge to help him or her get through school. Don't take no for an answer.
When talking to someone with aphasia, should we try to help them speak?
Be patient and wait for the person to try to answer you or the person who is speaking to them before you answer for them. It may take a while. In most cases, people with aphasia can understand everything that's being said to them. Remember that the inability to process language usually has nothing to do with the loss of intelligence. Treat your adult friend or loved one as an adult, not a child. If processing language seems to be a problem, then allowing a few moments in between your sentences can help.
What are some other cues we should pay attention to when talking with our friend or loved one?
Help your loved one learn hand signals to help them communicate. If they have been in speech and language therapy and have learned them already, learn them yourself so you can speak the same language. Successful communication can include gestures and facial expressions as well as the spoken words. Pay attention to your friend's body language. Learn any hand signals he or she uses.
It sounds like distraction might be an issue too when dealing with someone with aphasia. What are some tips around that?
Whenever possible, eliminate as much background noise as you can when conversing with your friend. Distractions from radios, TVs, or other conversations going on nearby makes it harder for the person with aphasia to process language. If you need to repeat yourself in situations where background noises can't be eliminated, try to phrase your sentence the exact same way the second time.
Seems like it would be really natural to try to correct your friend or loved one when they're talking.
Give your friend plenty of time to get those words out without your help. If you guess wrong while he or she is still trying, you'll break your friend's concentration and cause more frustration. Don't call attention to or correct grammatical errors and poor articulation if the basic message is understandable. Most people with aphasia are embarrassed enough about their diction, slurred words, or inability to find the right words. Just getting their words out is often a major accomplishment, so be proud of your friend's efforts and remember that what you may think of as help may seem like criticism to your friend.
Again, it sounds like patience is really key here. How about when we're in a group setting?
Encourage participation in group conversations by occasionally asking him or her questions that have yes-no answers. Your inclusion will make him or her feel more a part of the gathering without the embarrassment of having to come up with a lot of speech.
Humor and laughter are really the best medicine, as we know. And I'm just wondering if that's something that the person with aphasia can still appreciate.
Humor is usually a welcome commodity to lighten interaction with someone with aphasia. Don't be afraid to use it so long as you remember that the goal is to laugh with your friend and not at him or her.
What's something that can really be difficult for a person with aphasia?
The loss of friendships and family is one of the hardest parts about getting acquired aphasia. Don't let your own self-consciousness keep you away. Relax and just be the same person you've always been around your friend.
Thanks, Dr. Fadia, for taking the time to give us these really helpful tips. We've learned that patience and eliminating distraction, inclusiveness, and most of all, being yourself are the best tools to deal with a friend or loved one who has aphasia. I'm Karen Kozer, and I encourage you to listen to our other podcasts here on shepherdtv.org. Thanks for listening.